Thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting the Productivity Show. You probably don't think much about your internet privacy on your own home network. ExpressVPN will secure your privacy and protect your information. Visit expressvpn.com/TPS. You can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. Welcome to the Productivity Show, podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Today, I'm joined by Jen Schultz, founder of The Non 9 to 5, where she helps people transition from a full-time career to starting an online business. She has helped many people over the years and still manages to do everything herself without any staff, which to me is just plain crazy. So I asked her, how are you so productive? How do you run a business? How do you help clients? And how do you live a normal life doing all of that? We also dove deep into the apps and tools that she uses and some of her workflows. You can find links to everything that we share on the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/305. And now, on with the show. How are you doing today, Jen?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the Productivity Show by Asian Efficiency. I'm Tan, and today with me I have Jen. And Jen, before we start diving into your story and helping people become more productive, one of the things we always like to do on the show is having our guests share some of their favorite productivity resources. So in 90 seconds or less, can you share some of your favorite productivity resources?
I am going to do my best. Absolutely. So one of my favorite productivity resources is pretty old school, pen and paper, writing down what I need to write down. I have a lot of writing activities that I do every single morning. I'm also a very big fan of the StrengthsFinder 2.0 book. Great book. Tells you what all your top five strengths are. I highly, highly recommend you go out and get that. And I use an app called Zoho, and I use that for my CRM, which really helps me keep up to date and in touch with all the folks I need to reach out to and follow up with. And I've been using it now for probably a year and a half, and it's really great.
Nice. So we will have links to all of that in the show notes. So if you miss something, don't worry. You can just check out the show notes in the podcast app. Let's just dive into your story, Jen.
Cool.
I met you a few months ago. You came to one of our dinner parties that Tim and I host here in Austin called
The
Skyline Dinner Party, where we bring together entrepreneurs and change makers for just a really fun evening. And I was really fascinated by your story because you're not from Austin. You were in New York before this, and you were teaching at a school, and you decided, you know what, this is not for me, and then quit. And then you went on your own adventure.
Would
you mind sharing that story with everybody and kind of like share what you did?
Yeah. So I was teaching at a school at that time. I was in the South Bronx in 2010. And I actually found myself in a place in my life where I was completely depressed and anxiety ridden. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I would say to myself, there's something wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I worked with teachers who were loving the work that they were doing, loving the school. We had a lot of resources at our fingertips at that school. But there was something gnawing at me and guiding me that kept telling me that I was meant to leave that job and that I was meant to go do something on my own. What that was, I wasn't too clear about. And for me, at the end of 2010, it kind of was like push came to shove, and I quit that job. And I quit that job, though, without having any other job lined up. So once I walked out, I had no more paycheck, I had no more health benefits, and I kind of had to figure it out, which was actually a really great and beautiful blessing in disguise because it kind of put that fire under my butt to, you know, really move forward with where I was going to go next. And I did know at that time that I did want to keep teaching. So I lined up some independent contracting work for myself where I had a private agency place me with students where I did one-on-one work with them. And I was placed with one student, and then they gave me a second student, and then they gave me a third student. And then I had a conversation with my dad one day, and he actually said to me, why don't you start your own tutoring business? And I thought, I don't know, that could be really interesting because I kept feeling that entrepreneurial nudge. And so the shorter story of that longer story is that I did just that. I started my own business working one-on-one with students. And within just a couple of months after I left my full-time job, I was no longer depressed. I no longer had anxiety. I was sleeping again. I was happy. I felt confident. I felt good about myself. And I wasn't experiencing that prior to that. And so that was a real sign for me that I was definitely on the right track. And from there, I worked with those kids doing this one-on-one work with my own business, which was called Teacher on the Go. And from there, I had a light bulb moment during taking a workshop for women. It was the workshop I was taking was all about women who wanted to monetize their passion. And during that workshop, I had this light bulb moment that was, yeah, I'm a teacher, and that's really what I was put on this earth to do, but I want to work with adults. And it has shifted and morphed over the years, and it's landed me in my business, the non-9-to-5, and providing coaching and education for others who know they're not meant for their 9-to-5 and who know they're meant to be doing purposeful work on their own terms, generating money on their own terms, helping people in some way, shape, or form.
That's so interesting because it kind of reminds me of my own story in a way. And I've shared this with a few people privately, but I've always had dreams of me teaching in a classroom setting.
Oh, that's so cool.
But I never liked the idea of being a teacher in like a school system because there's no like, you know, there's a ceiling to your income. There's a restriction on your freedom, but I love the idea of teaching. So I never understood why I had this dream. And when I think about the business I have today with Asian Efficiency, where we help people become more productive at work and in life, I'm still a teacher. I'm teaching people how to be more productive, but now it's in a quote unquote business setting.
Yeah.
So when you were sharing your story, it reminded me a lot of that too.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it is, it's teaching just in a different capacity. You know, I think we have ingrained in our minds that like, if you're going to be a quote unquote teacher, you need to be in a school. But that's not true. There's so many different ways to receive education, especially now. And, you know, in this day and age in 2020, there's so many amazing ways. Like you said, right now, what we're doing, you know, this is providing education.
Yeah. And I want to start diving deeper about how you get stuff done and how you stay productive, because I heard from you that, you know, this is just you who does everything, right? And you don't have any assistants or anything else. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to hear a little bit later how you do all of that. But going back to your story, you quit your job, you had nothing else lined up. Most people would never dare to do that, right? And I think it's very courageous of you to do that. What gave you the courage or to say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to do this anyway?
So what gave me the courage to actually like just finally make that decision to leave?
Yeah.
So my answer is, it is not a cool answer. It is not an amazing answer. And it's probably an answer that people wouldn't expect that I would say. When I made the decision to leave, I had been thinking about it for a while, but I was petrified to do it. And I felt so confused that when the weekends would finally come after work, I would go out and I would drink pretty heavily. And one weekend I did just that and I got really sick. And that was on a Saturday night. And then the next day, Sunday, I pretty much just spent in my room, in my apartment, pretty depressed. And I remember having a conversation with my dad, who he didn't know that I had gone out and gotten really drunk the night before. But I remember having a conversation with my dad and talking to him about how upset I was. And he had known, my mom, my dad had known that I wasn't really that happy, but they didn't know the full extent of it. And he said to me on the phone, if you're this unhappy, why don't you just quit? He's like, just go in and quit. And for me, to be honest with you, I needed someone to give me permission because I wasn't giving myself permission because I didn't feel that confidence. And I needed someone to give me that permission. And it's an interesting thing to think about because I wonder if that weekend hadn't happened, where might I be today or what might have happened after that? And I think, though, for many of us, though, there is this push come to shove moment where you can get to a breaking point and everyone's breaking point can look differently. And that was my breaking point. And I also think that it was the universe really saying like, okay, you know, your dad said this, like, go with it. And I remember walking in that Monday morning and I'd asked the principal if I could take a meeting with her. And I was so nervous and so afraid. I was so scared, but I did it. And it's kind of thanks to my dad. I don't even think he knows that, to be honest with you.
Wow. Well, what do you think would happen if you actually shared that story with him?
He'd probably be like, oh, that's good. I think that's all he'd really say. Like, oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad is pretty stoic too. I love my dad, but he is a man of very few words.
Yeah.
But he speaks through his actions, which is something I really like about him. But now you help people transition out of full-time jobs to start their own online businesses. How did you get into that? Because you started a tutoring business first.
Mm-hmm.
So what made you then make a second transition to teach people how to get out of their full-time jobs to start a business on the side?
Yeah. So I mentioned earlier, I was taking a workshop. So this was probably back in 2012, I want to say at some point in 2012, I was taking this workshop about monetizing your passion. And I figured that I was there as a student, as a participant in this workshop, because I was meant to take this tutoring business to another level. But for some time, like, the tutoring business wasn't feeling 100% aligned for me, and I couldn't put my finger on what it was. And I sat in this workshop and I watched this woman leading this workshop, and there's probably about maybe 8 to 10 women as the participants in the workshop. And I saw her leading, and I watched her leading, and I was listening to her as she was sharing with us and teaching and coaching us. And I've been involved in the personal growth and development world. Now it's been over 15 years. And so I'm very familiar with personal growth, personal development, receiving coaching, being someone who wants to better myself and grow myself. And when I sat in that workshop, it was this light bulb moment that went off for me. And I went, I want to do that. But I didn't know at that time it was what I'm doing now. I just knew I wanted to work with people and do some sort of coaching in some sort of capacity. And the way it started was, I thought I was meant to work with people on their life purpose, which is kind of interesting, because as I've, like, kind of just circling to where we are now, that is kind of what I do, but just in a very different way. Because I, in my work, it's about your non-9-to-5 purpose. And so the people that I work with are in that 9-to-5, but they know in their gut, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm here, I've got this paycheck, and maybe I've even got great coworkers, and maybe I've got great hours. Maybe I love the hours that I work. Maybe I love that my office is down the street from me and I can walk there, but it's not my purpose. And in doing this work, what I have done is taken my own personal life experiences, and I've carefully curated 6 steps that I teach people. I don't know if I'm still answering your question or kind of going off on a tangent.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Because I'm totally open to you being like, hey, you just went totally off topic. I do that.
I like the ongoing conversations that we have here.
Cool.
So
okay.
You find yourself that, because one of the things I remember from our dinner party was you like to use the word intuition for people to follow whatever they're passionate about or their life purpose. And mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that people like about Asian Efficiency, or I think parts of me as sort of the leader of Asian Efficiency, is that I'm really down to earth and I am not woo-woo whatsoever, right? And so anytime I see or hear something woo-woo, I kind of like shy away from it.
Is intuition woo-woo to you? That's a great question.
I don't think intuition is woo-woo, but I can see how it could be taught to be woo-woo.
Thing.
Right. So if I have to make a decision, and then intuition is like a tool to me that helps me make a decision, whether it's the right decision or not, it's a tool, right?
Okay.
Just like a decision matrix is a tool. Intuition is a tool. Asking someone's opinion is a tool, right? So
interesting.
That's how I see intuition.
Yeah.
But I remember from our dinner party that you actually see it in a slightly different way of how you utilize it.
Yeah, I do. I like, though, the perspective of it's a tool, because I don't disagree with that. I do agree with that. It's a tool that every single one of us has. We all have it, no matter what. That's the thing that I think is so cool. Every single human being, no matter where they are in this world, has the tool of intuition. Intuition is also referred to as our gut or our gut hunches. You know, I think a lot of people say, like, I feel it in my gut, or I feel it deep down, or I just have this knowing, or I just have this sense. That's all intuition right there. My firm belief, though, is that, and this is where maybe you and I will differ, is that if you are truly tuned into your intuition, if you are truly tuned into your gut hunches, they will never, ever, ever, ever steer you wrong. If someone says to me, I followed my intuition, but it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen, then I'd have more follow-up questions for them. I'd want to key into, was it really your intuition? And I'd want to key into, well, okay, perhaps it was your intuition, but it wasn't meant to unfold the way you thought it was. And if it unfolded in a different way, the universe has other plans for you. So that's kind of getting a little bit probably woo-woo there.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between making a decision following, say, your intuition and whatever outcomes that follows that, right? So for example, if I make a decision about what business I'm going to start, and I said, you know what, I'm going to follow my intuition, I'm going to start a tutoring business, right? That could be the right decision. And whether that failed or not, that it actually doesn't really matter what the outcome is, because you already made your decision following that particular tool, right? So if it failed, was it because of the intuition? Could be, but it could be for so many other reasons, right? Like the market wasn't ready, your pricing wasn't good, your marketing wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. Like there could be so many reasons why it failed. So we've talked a lot about this on the podcast, like your failure does not define who you are, right? And so I think it's sometimes difficult for people to distinguish the two, to say, you know, I followed my intuition, but it didn't work out, so my intuition was wrong, right? And that's an easy mistake to make, because I see this all the time when we play board games, as an example, right?
I love our board games.
We play board games together.
I play board games with you.
And there's a social deduction game called, for example, Secret Hitler that we've played.
Yes.
And don't let the name fool you. It's a little bit of a controversial name, which I totally get, but it's a really fun game. And it's not about being a fascist or anything like that in real world, but it's a social deduction game. And you have to guess who's who and what everybody's role is. And my intuition has many times said, oh, I think you are this role, and then it turns out to be wrong, right? So was my intuition wrong? Yes, maybe. Or was I not in tune, or, you know, whatever.
I have a response to that, though. I don't know if you want to go there.
Yeah, well, let's go.
Because I've played that game, and I've played it with you and a bunch of other people. So what I would actually say is that wasn't your intuition.
Oh, okay. And why is that?
Well, this could probably be like a really sticky conversation, but because you're playing, and we've played the game before, and I know that the folks that have listened have not necessarily played this game or heard of it, but because I know that game, it's a game of you're attempting at some sort of strategy. When you're trying to strategize, when you're trying to strategize, you're coming from the mind and you're trying to use logic. You're trying to figure out, like, logically, is it Jen or is it Sally? And so my sense is that when that game is being played, for the most part, and I can't say this for everyone, intuition is not being used. Strategy is being used because you want to win and you're going for this outcome of, like, I have to win. Intuition doesn't have this winning strategy type of energy to it. It's a lot lighter.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that. And when you're playing, you're not really using, like, the other side of your brain. It's really the logical side of your brain to say, hey, what do we need to figure out here logically to say this is the right action or call?
That's what I would say.
Have you ever thought about internet privacy and security on your own home network? Sure. You might be careful when you go to a cafe or a hotel, back when we could do those things. But at home? A lot of us don't think about that, but you should. That's why even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data with the best-in-class encryption, so your information is always protected. You can go online with confidence from your computer, tablet, or smartphone. ExpressVPN works with all of them. Just tap one button and you're protected. Your internet connection is rerouted through ExpressVPN secure servers, so your IP is anonymized and can't be traced back to you. Even your internet service provider can't see what you're doing. I was recently on a webinar about security and working from home, and the number one recommendation the presenters gave was to use a VPN, even at home. Sure, you're careful with your internet security, but how about your kids or your tenants? There's so many ways we can be compromised these days that have nothing to do with us. So why not just be safe when it's so easy? I first started using VPNs when I worked from coffee shops, and now I use it every day to protect myself. So protect yourself online today with the VPN that I trust to secure my privacy. Visit my special package at expressvpn.com/TPS. You can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/TPS. Go to expressvpn.com/TPS to learn more. So one of the things that I've heard from the Productivity Show listeners and people who follow Asian Efficiency, which is why I'm excited to have you here today, is you help people start businesses and passion projects and things on the side while they're working a full-time job. But how do you do that if you are so busy at work? You have a lot of stuff going on. You're working maybe 40 hours a week, sometimes even 60, sometimes even 80. You work on the weekends, right? Some people come home from work and they say, you know what, Jen, I just don't have any time or energy to do anything else. So how do you then start something on the side?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think that's a really big question too. And it's an important question to ask. And so there's sort of like good news and sort of bad news, but it's not really bad. That's just the word that I'm using. But we'll say like what the quote unquote bad news is versus that there isn't a magic wand. There isn't a magical answer. If there was a magical answer for everyone, it would look a lot different than what it looks like now for most people. But the good news is that it's completely possible. And even in those scenarios of I'm working 40 hours, I'm working 60 hours, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I have a family. What needs to happen first and foremost is really making that decision that this business or this passion project is worth it to you. You have to make that decision yourself that this is something you want, that this is something that no matter what you do, no matter where you go, it just keeps coming back and back and back and back and back. And so once you've made that decision, then what it's about is being okay. And this can be really hard for people, being okay that as you start this business, side hustle, passion project, what have you, that you're going to build it or you're going to start it in a way that works for you, in a time way that works for you. Meaning, if I'm working 60 hours a week, that's a big chunk of time. But if I want this so badly, I can look at my calendar, and it definitely takes a level of organization too. I can look at my calendar and ask myself, is there anywhere in a 7-day span where I can take, I'm willing to take, I'm committed to taking 30 minutes. And I'm just using 30 minutes arbitrarily, but 30 minutes in 1 week to do something to start building this business. Just one day a week for 30 minutes. And I would say, if we're getting real with ourselves, there's going to be 30 minutes somewhere that you can find. If it's not 30, 15. If it's not 15, 10. If it's not 10, 5. Because it takes a person who's that committed, who wants something so badly, and then blocking that 30 minutes out every week to take whatever those actions are you're going to take, and staying consistent with it. And then that could eventually build to an hour. Maybe that can build to 2 days per week at 30 minutes each or an hour each. That's my answer to that.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a lot of my personal story, but also Brooks's. So Brooks is the operations director at Asian Efficiency.
Oh, cool. And
he used to start his own business called Document Snap, where he was teaching people how to go paperless. And we used to be kind of like quote unquote competitors because we're in the same industry. And many, many years ago, I told him, hey, you know what? You should join Asian Efficiency. I think we can actually do more stuff together. But it reminded me of his story because when he was working in corporate Canada at that time, he wanted to start this side business where he was helping people go paperless. But it started off by him going to coffee shops like for 30 minutes before he went into the office. So he would take the SkyTrain, right? Spend 30 minutes at a coffee shop or at a hotel lobby before he went into the office. And then sometimes instead of going out for lunch with his coworkers, he would then go to another coffee shop and spend some time, you know, dealing with emails and kind of, or blogging or anything else, because he made a conscious decision to say, hey, you know what? This is really important to me. I just got to figure out in time to do that. And he found pockets of time to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing too. And I love a story like that because I really think that that also defines a human being who really wants to create something. And he, however he did it, he saw that he had these 30 minutes before going into the office. And he was like, I'm going to go to these coffee shops and made that commitment. The interesting thing I think about all that I feel about all of this is that it's a lot more of an inside game than it is an outside game. And what I mean by that is that it's got to come from within that commitment, that desire. It's got to start there. Because if you have that strong desire, if you have that commitment, if you have that feeling, and you're someone that is not willing to be your excuses, then you can find it just like he did.
Yeah. Anything that's important enough to you, you'll figure out a way to make that happen. Right.
100%.
So I see that with families and parents all the time. Like if something is really important to them, like their kid has to go to school or has to be picked up or, you know, dropped off somewhere, even if you have a crazy schedule, you'll figure out a way because it's that important to you.
Well, you know what that makes me think of? So when I was, and you know this because this just happened a little while ago, when I got here, I was trying to find parking. And I went and I parked and I went to the meter to pay. I stood in front of the meter for about 10 minutes and it didn't work. And I was like, well, where do I go? What do I do? And so I drove down the street to another meter and another 10 minutes went by. But the reason why I bring that up is that an old, old part of me probably would have been like, I should just go home. A very old from like years ago part of me would have been like, I should just go home. This is stupid. These meters aren't working. They're not taking my cards. I drove all the way here. What am I going to do? And so that might kind of sound like a silly example, but as human beings, like we can have a tendency to just give up or not be fully committed to something. And what actually happened as a result of my own energy and just kind of laughing it off because it was a funny situation is that the meter guy happened to be there and he said, don't worry about it. I'll be here for the next 2 hours. And so I didn't even have to pay for parking and I got a spot on the street. I also think that that's the universe working too.
You have some good karma points from the time we did some volunteering together.
Yeah, I do.
For those who didn't know, I organize a lot of volunteering events here in Austin and Jen came out one day where we helped the local food bank. So yeah. We were packaging foods and I guess the universe paid you back in that sense.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
I'm still waiting for my payback, universe. So if you're listening, I'm waiting.
It's on its way to you.
I have like a lot of karma points that need to be collected. So I'll cash them out whenever I need to. But Jen, when it comes to your own personal life and how you do stuff in your business, one of the things I always find interesting when guests come on the Productivity Show is I want to learn from them as well. Like, how do you get stuff done? How do you get stuff in your business, in your personal life? How do you get groceries done? Like just the little quirky things, because it's easy to think, you know, my way is the best way, but then I hear other people's perspectives and how they do things. And I always learn from them as well. So one of the things that I was fascinated by is you've been running your own business for over 6 years now. And it's just you. And I cannot imagine running my own life with just me. So how do you get stuff done in your business? I'm really curious.
Yeah, I know. And I do everything.
Yeah, I'm like, how
do I do all this?
Yeah.
And gosh, you know, Tan, if you knew me years ago, I was not like this at all. I was not like this at all. So yeah, there's a couple of things that come to mind, and you know, some of them might not seem so off the wall amazing, but they are things that work for me. I actually start my official work day not until about 10 or 11 a.m. when I'm really sitting down, like really quote unquote working. And before that time, I am for the most part doing some sort of exercise. I'm writing, and I'm writing to the universe. I'm writing certain things to the universe. I'm asking about certain things because I do personally have a relationship with a higher power. And I do bring that into my work as well. And then in terms of on a more logistical place is that my calendar, I live by my calendar. It is a non-negotiable for me that once I'm ready to work, my laptop is open and my calendar stays open. And I go through everything that's in the calendar and I schedule things out in advance and I schedule them in blocks of time where I sense like this is going to take X amount of time for me. And I block that out in my calendar. It's color coded. It's labeled with what that thing is. Like, you know, our talk today has been in my calendar for weeks and I put the amount of time and I also allotted for how much time it would take me to get from my home to where we are right now. So that definitely supports me in being productive. And in terms of, you mentioned like groceries. So, and earlier before we started our talk here, I was like, yeah, that's something I want to share because I really love grocery shopping. It's really cathartic for me. And I enjoy being in the grocery store, like pushing my cart around or with my basket, like looking at all the different things. But when I grocery shop, I'm really efficient grocery shopping. I go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods. I know exactly where everything is that I need in Trader Joe's. And I also, maybe this is considered boring, I don't really tend to go off of like what I normally buy. I buy this pretty much the same things and I go once a week and I do it for the week. And yeah, and I know where everything is in each aisle and it's a once a week thing. And sometimes I go back to the grocery store during the week because I also like it.
See, that's where you and I will differ because I think grocery shopping is like a huge waste of time.
Well, I think I'm definitely the exception to the rule because I think most people would be on your side. Like if we took a poll, you know, are you on Tan's side? I don't like grocery shopping. Are you on Jen's side? I like grocery shopping. I think the majority would be on your side.
I don't know about that. Like some people are really particular about their avocados and their bananas and, you know, some people have to touch things and feel them before they, you know, pick them.
Yeah.
Or for some people, grocery shopping is like their own escape.
It's mine.
Right?
Totally mine.
And I can see that too, especially for somebody like me who works from home. Getting myself out the door is like a nice thing, actually. But I've decided, you know what? The hour or whatever I spend going to the grocery store, getting my groceries, carrying it back home, it's just not really good use of my time.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, you know, if you like your bananas a certain way, just write really good instructions of how someone should pick your banana and just accept that it's not going to be 100% perfect every single time.
Yeah.
If it's 80%, that's good too.
Well, and we do have so many of these, you know, you can place online orders like all over the place, Instacart and all that stuff, you know, for grocery shopping. But I'm definitely old school. Like I want to do the grocery shopping. I'm the one who wants to be like, I'm going to feel the avocado. I'm going to see how ripe the banana is.
Yeah. Some days it's 5 bananas. Some days it's 4. And yeah.
You're like, whatever. That's fine for me.
Yeah. I'm team online grocery shopping for sure. When it comes to something like Zoho, which is the tool you mentioned at the very beginning, mm-hmm. was there a decision-making process that you came up with to use that particular tool? What do you like about that tool? Why do you recommend it? Or, yeah. You know,
it's kind of funny how I ended up using it.
Don't tell me you saw like a banner at an airport or something. You said, okay, that's the thing I need to use.
No, I mean, I've seen their ads at the Austin airport though, but no, actually this is probably, oh my gosh, over a year and a half ago, maybe about a year and a half ago, I was getting this feeling like it was time that I needed to upgrade. So I was using both an Excel tracking sheet and in my Google Calendar, where I have my time blocks, what I would do is I would double click into the event that I had, and they have a space for, it's either called description or notes. I would type in there what I needed to do or who I needed to follow up with. But I wasn't saving people's contact information appropriately to make it easier for myself. And actually, it was my ex-boyfriend who was like, hey, for the size of your business and for where you're at, I think you should look at this thing called Zoho. And I was like, okay. And then I looked at it and I was like, do you think I should do it? And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, I'll help you. And then we went to a coffee shop and I purchased it. And then he just kind of started teaching me like how to use it because he kind of already knew. And then that was really it.
That's funny. Many years later, when you're still running on Zoho and people are like, why did you?
Yeah.
And that's a great story. Why you used it. Yeah. There was no clever decision-making process. It was just a recommendation by an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. And thank you for that recommendation, ex-boyfriend.
So one of the things you also mentioned to me before we started recording is that you don't use a lot of productivity apps.
I don't even really know what those are.
So how do you then get stuff done? So you use Google Calendar, paper and pen.
Well, can I ask you a question actually?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is the old school part of me. When you use the term productivity apps, what does that mean for you? Like, give me an example of three productivity apps. Like when I think of app, I just think of something on my phone.
Yeah, it could be something on your phone, could be something on your computer. So for example, my way of keeping track of tasks is OmniFocus, which is an app that both lives on my Mac and my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Google Calendar is a productivity app. You know, lives in the browser, but I use a app called BusyCal, which is kind of like it connects with Google Calendar, but it has its own like little interface on your computer, mm-hmm. which I like better. It's more for power users, I think. So those are what I would consider apps. You know, you can have tools as well. So like pen and paper is something I consider a tool. Some people like to use a paper journal.
Yeah.
So when I ask you the question of like, are there any apps or tools that you use? Like, I'm curious then, how do you structure your day? How do you plan your day? Do mm-hmm. you prioritize? Do you set goals? Like, do you use pen and paper? Do you use like,
yeah.
What do you do to keep track of everything?
Yeah. And I've actually heard of that OmniFocus app. So yeah, Google Calendar, like I was saying before, is really huge for me, and the color coding and the time blocks. My weeks are scheduled in a way, for the most part, so that way there are days, so like Tuesdays for me, are only client-focused days. So I'm doing anything in my business that is for my clients, or I'm on a call with them, or I'm emailing with them, or I'm setting something up with them, or I'm on a call with a potential client. So I'm just going back to Google Calendar again, like Tuesdays are just for that. And I follow that. I think it's also just a matter of following it. I've got to follow that's what every Tuesday is. And then Fridays for me is a combo where on Fridays, so today's a Friday. So on Fridays, I reserve Fridays for client VIP days where I meet with clients in person at my home. And that's what that's reserved for. If I'm not having a client VIP day, then I can schedule other things that make the most sense. I think it's also a matter of, I've been trained to prioritize by my business mentor, very specific things. And my priorities I've always looked at are, what are priorities that directly affect income producing activities? So marketing that I'm working on. For me, it's a lot of reaching out for speaking engagements. And so those are the priorities that always happen first, and then everything else comes underneath that. And then in terms of that scheduling again, it's I follow that calendar. I do use pen and paper more for my own writing in the morning and writing to the universe and writing to my higher power and asking specific questions. And I do use that writing for decision making. But really, other than my Google Calendar and I was like, what was that app that I use? Zoho. There really isn't anything massive outside of that that I use. And I'm definitely more of an old school person. So for me, less is more. And there are definitely so many different apps you can use, but I'm still of the believer that you could be using a billion apps. it's really got to be that inside job first, because I could have a ton of apps and be like, none of these work, or I can't find the best one. But it's really coming from what's inside of me and knowing that this business is my purpose and my passion and what I'm here to do. And so my energy goes into how best can I be organized.
So it sounds like you like to theme your day. So like Tuesday is a special day.
Yeah.
And then Friday is like a special day where you do specific things. Then what happens on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday?
Yeah. So Monday is a really big marketing day for me, and where I'm following up with potential clients, or I'm following up on speaking engagements, or I'm reaching out for speaking engagements, or I'm researching speaking engagements. It's also the day where I write my weekly newsletter. So I have a weekly newsletter and blog that goes out every week. I write that every Monday, and that's just blocked out. It just says 1 hour newsletter, and I have to sit down at that hour and write that newsletter. It's funny, I'm such a visual person. I want to be like looking at my calendar right now to tell you like all the other things. And then sometimes I'll take phone calls with people on that day. And then Wednesday is another marketing day, Thursday as well. But also I'm a participant, a member, a client of a business mentorship program that I've been part of now for over 6.5 years. And it is like a whole education that I get. I have recordings I have to listen to. I have calls I have to show up for. Sometimes the calls are an hour and a half long. Sometimes they're an hour. Sometimes they're 30 minutes. I have assignments that I have to post. I have readings that I have to do. I have travel that I have to do and book travel. And so Thursdays is also a big chunk of that. So it's like I'm also in school at the same time too.
Wow. So theming your days, pen and paper, Google Calendar, Zoho, that kind of is the tool set of Jen.
That's Schultz. It.
I should just call you Miss Bare Bones at this point.
I like that though, because I am pretty bare bones. I'm not a fancy schmancy kind of person. Like, I mean, even if you go to my website, it is not a cool website. Like, let's just be honest here. It's not cool. I made it myself. There's a whole reason why I made it myself. That was not my choice. There's a funny story behind that, but it does what it needs to do for now.
Yeah. So when it comes to, for example, staying focused or not getting easily distracted, like you mentioned, you kind of know your priorities, and your priorities are heavily skewed towards income generating activities, right? So do you ever find yourself procrastinating every now and then? Do you ever find yourself like, oh man, it's so hard to focus today? Like what do you do then?
I find days where, yeah, I do find days like that. They are definitely a lot less now that I've been doing this for so long and have figured out what does work for me, but I'm human, you know, so those things happen. And wait, sorry, now as you asked that question and I started talking, you want to know what I do on those days when that happens?
Yeah.
I have to catch myself, and I will catch myself, and I'll be like, and I'll actually talk out loud. I'll be like, what am I doing? Like what? All of a sudden I'll find myself in like a loop. And usually for me, if it's a loop, I've gotten sucked into social media. For the most part, my phone, so here's actually a productivity hack, maybe. Let's see if I'm using it right. So you've got your laptop there. And like if I have my laptop in front of me, my phone is not only on silent. So if you were to call me, it goes straight to voicemail. I can't get a text. It's actually behind my laptop because I can't see it. It's out of sight, out of mind. I can't see it at all. That allows me to forget about it and really be focused in what I'm working on. But when I finish a task, I might pick up my phone and check if there's a text or look at something on social media. And there can be a tendency to get sucked into like, what did this person write? And what about this? And I'm like, oh, what's on this? And you know, all that stuff, which we all do now because we're all on social media. And some time will go by and I just go, whoa, what am I doing? And I have to just snap myself back out of that. I don't think there's a really magical thing for that. It's just snapping myself back out and really asking myself, what's my commitment? Is my commitment to social media? Is my commitment to be scrolling on social media? Or is my commitment to be working on my business so I can empower more people and get more of this message out and do what I'm meant to be doing?
Yeah, that makes sense. And one sort of productivity hack, if you can call it, that is the way I do it is when I take a break, I always change where I am. So for example, here in my apartment, if I'm taking a break, I might go on the balcony and then catch some sun. Because one of the things I've discovered is that I feel a lot better if I have enough sunlight.
Yeah.
And I also know that if I sit too long in the sun, it gets too hot or my skin starts burning and I'm going, oh, wait, it's time to go back in. And it's like a natural reminder for me to get back to work. But the bigger takeaway there is like, if you change your environment, I find that it's an easy way to kind of like distance yourself, but also re-engage yourself and not get sucked in. In a way.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And I have little things like that that I do. I mostly work from a table in my living room, but I also have a stand-up desk. And I'll be honest, you know, sometimes I get kind of lazy and I keep sitting and sitting and sitting, but then I'll realize I have a standing desk for a reason. And then I'll go stand at my desk and I'll work from there. And then I'll shift to my couch. And then I might even shift to sitting on the floor. And then I have a balcony too, and I'll sit out there. When the weather is nice, I always make sure that I have lunch on my balcony so I'm outside and that there, you know, that there's sun out there. And even when it's not so nice, I'll sit out there as well.
So Jen, this was super helpful and super fun to kind of share what you do and how you do things.
Yeah.
If people want to find out more about you, what you do, where should they go?
Yeah. So my website is a great place to go to. It's www.thenon925.com. And that's all spelled out in letters. There's no actual digits in there. Thenon925.com. And on my website, you can grab a free copy of a mini ebook PDF that I wrote. It's called The Number One Step to Staying with Your Business Mission ebook, and that's there. And then I'm also on Instagram at thenon925, again, all spelled out. And then I'm on Facebook as well, thenon925.
Cool. So we will have links to all of that in the show notes. So if you want to find out more about Jen and work with her or follow up with her, you will have all of that in the show notes so you can find her there. So thank you, Jen, for today's podcast episode. Today was really fun and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Do you wish there were more hours in a day? Are you behind on your to-do list? If you want to be more productive and get proven tools to help you save time, then you must check out our new productivity assessment. Within 2 minutes of taking this free assessment, the tool will generate a personal recommendation list of which apps, tools, and strategies that will work for you based on your life situation. To take the assessment, just go to theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Again, that URL is theproductivityshow.com/quiz. Take their free assessment today and you'll be on your way to becoming superhuman productive. Thanks for joining us and we'll see you next Productive Monday.